How are we doing, everybody? It is Jeff Hoke here with Jamie Gatlin and Chris Henrique for yet another episode of oh my God, I can't even say words right now of Shorthand It
Hey.
Takes, a Boston Bruins podcast brought to you by Beyond the Monster. We were just talking about Couch Guy Sports before this. I was about to say Couch Guy Sports for some reason. So our old company. So great start to the podcast here, I'll tell you what. Anywho. We are here for yet another week, and we have a lot to go over today. Currently, the Bruins are playing the Toronto Maple Leafs right now. Right behind me, they are up 2-0. That would probably seem like a good thing, right? We'll see about that. Well, they beat Vegas. They had a 3-0 lead in the first period, and then they blew that 3-0 lead. Ended up winning 5-4. So. I can't really trust anything the Bruins do right now. Then they got shellacked by the Islanders on Saturday, 5-1, which I try to forget about that game, Jamie. Do you also try to forget about that game?
I'm gonna just pretend that game never happened emotionally, from an emotional standpoint.
And what about you, Chris? How are you doing emotionally after that Islanders game?
So I didn't watch it, because I was out. But
You didn't miss much.
when you texted and said you can't say, "Hey, at least the Bruins got a point," I knew what was going down.
What? So there is something about Kyle Palmieri and his hatred for the Bruins. Whenever he plays the Bruins, he always just goes fucking off. I never understand it. And did the same thing on Saturday. Natural hat trick in the first period. Put him up 3-0. One of those goals where I believe were like 30 seconds apart. So they just looked absolutely horrendous on Saturday. And the beat just keeps going for them. And Linus Allmark hasn't been terrible, hasn't been great, but also the defense hasn't been great in front of them. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to judge who is at fault there at the end of the day. But, Chris, at the end of the day, who, I mean, rough stretch here, obviously, post All-Star break. They showed Nesson showed a graphic before the game. They're like dead last and everything since the All-Star break. What's who is this on? Who's this rough patch on right now?
I'd say the team as a whole. I think it's very easy for anybody to go and quickly point fingers, because I've seen a little bit on social media. People are, they're blaming Don Sweeney because of the roster. Yeah, that's great, but at some point players got to play. You know what I mean? Players step up. The guys that are there, you know what I mean? They got to step up. Injuries haven't helped. That just you can't use that as an excuse. Blue line's been banged up, but also the blue line, the guys that have been there haven't helped the case for the goaltenders. Just need consistent play offensively. Guys like Jake DeBrusk has to step up. I think he's got a point tonight, but when's the last time that he was having,
He hadn't scored a point, I believe, in 12 games. It was.
he's one of your top offensive players, and there are going to be guys that are going to go on stretches, but you have to, like, you got to. He's not elite. So, like, if he was like a Pastrnak, he'd break out of that stretch. You still got to figure out ways to get out of it. It got a little butthole clenching the other night
Pablo Reyes.
Pablo Sandoval, when Pavel Zacha had that lower body injury, weren't sure what that was going to look like. So I think it's the team as a collective whole. But they do need a little bit of help. I don't know where that comes from. We've talked about it when we recorded last. But in general, these guys got to start to turn around and right the ship.
Jamie, what about you?
I agree. I mean, I feel like the effort hasn't been the same the last couple of weeks. And we talked about earlier, giving up that lead to Vegas, even though they won that game, that was closer than it should have been after up 3-0. And then against the Islanders, they just looked completely disinterested. That was probably, I feel like, one of their worst performances we've seen this year. So I think it's just a mix of kind of everything with injuries, but they're also not playing inspired hockey on a consistent basis. Kind of seems like Jekyll and Hyde, what you're gonna get from them. As we're recording, they've looked a lot better. But I feel like for the last couple of weeks, every game, you don't know exactly which Bruins team is gonna show up.
So we got trade deadline on Friday. So, but next time we talk, trade deadline will be over. Bruins have been linked to some people. There's Alex Wenberg out in Seattle that's been linked to the Bruins. Noah Hanifin, of course, linked to the Bruins if possible. I think NHL put out a, I think it was a 2025 first rounder, Jake DeBrusque for Hanifin, and like 50% of salary from Hanifin. Look, at the end of the day, Jake DeBrusque is an unrestricted free agent after the season. Do you really want to re-sign him? And if you don't, you got to trade him and get something out of him at the end of the day. Chris, what is your case on Jake DeBrusque? Is there a case for him to stay, or should they move him by Friday? Oh, you're muted there.
Let's try that again. Oh, if you're going to do something to where you're going to get a defenseman, here's my thing. Isn't Hanifin, though, unrestricted as well at the end of the season?
Did he sign a deal?
I thought he was in, like, the final year. Or am I might be thinking of another guy.
I have no idea, then.
But, like, see, to me, so Larry, let's just say for the sake of this, if Hanifin is signed and you're going to give up the first and DeBrusque with the threat of DeBrusque bolting, then fine. If Hanifin is a free agent and there's a risk that he's going to leave, plus you're going to lose the first rounder, what are you gaining? You know what I mean? Because they're still, like, to me, that's a big move to make for a team that may, or I just don't know, like, how confident I am that they're going to make a deep cup run because of some of the inconsistent play. I like the idea that you're being aggressive and you're going to go and help your roster. I think that there's something to be said for that. Don Sweeney does it all the time. But, I mean, unless you're going to get Hanifin locked up, like, I need some sort of assurance that Hanifin is going to be here. Because if he's going to be here beyond this season, then, yeah, trade the first rounder, trade DeBrusque, and now you have another defenseman. Think about it. Like, I'm down on Hampus Lindholm, but you'll still have Charlie McAvoy, him, Hanifin. How many teams in the league have potentially three top pairing guys on their blue line? There's not many. That's like what I try to do when I build an NHL team in the fucking video game. I try to hoard all those defensemen and build from, like, the goaltending and the defense up. Like, I to me, that's like my, like, you know, I value that. But I don't know. I would just need the assurances that he's going to be here. I like the idea, but I did say from the beginning, I said it last week as well, I'm more in favor of veteran, smaller move, add some depth, continue to build to that combination of the guys you're in there. Nick Dowd, to me, feels like a no-brainer. You don't have to give up. I don't think you have to give up a lot. I don't know. Jamie,
let me ask you this question, okay? Another name that was floated out there from Elliot Friedman's 32-point podcast, which was turned into a written form, thank God, because I don't listen to podcasts much outside of doing them, surprisingly so. But there is also murmurings that there are two teams in on Alex Tuch of the Buffalo Sabres. The Rangers and the Bruins are the two teams that are in on Alex Tuch of the Sabres. Tuch is a, you would have Tuch until the 2026-2027 season. He's under contract.
I would do that if I were them.
Would you make a move that possibly, let's say, includes a first rounder, most likely the first rounder, you would think, because he still is under contract. Maybe a second rounder but you would have to include Jake DeBrusque, I would guess. And yeah, you're basically replacing Jake DeBrusque with Alex Tuch.
I would do that, to be honest with you. I feel like it's gonna be really interesting watching what happens with DeBrusque the next couple of days, especially if he's not, you know, they don't see any parts of the future. I feel like Tuch would be a good ad. He has 40 points in 55 games this year. I think he would kind of solve some issues going forward just because he's under contract. But I am a little – like, giving up another first-round pick, kind of I'm uneasy with. But I feel like for Tuch, it would be worth it.
Chris, what about you? What do you say? What's your take on Tuch?
He signed. So I'm a little more comfortable with that because – at least you know that you're going to have the player here a little bit longer. So dangling out, I just, to me, I don't want to trade a first round pick for a potential rental that's been done the last handful of years. Out of all those rentals, I think Lindholm was the only guy that's been signed and retained. So I like the idea of adding, he's a clear upgrade over Jake DeBrusk. So to me, if it's DeBrusk, a pick, and maybe like a lower level player, okay, you could sell me on that. But here's my thing. I'll flip back to you guys. I don't know who said it, but I was just reading on social media that there's people that don't think that Fabian Lysell's work ethic.
There was somebody that went on, I think it was the NHL Network today. It was a former goalie that played against Lysell when he played in the AHL against Providence. And he says he still has a long ways to go.
It's a goalie. It was a goalie.
It was a former goalie that is no longer playing in the NHL or the AHL. He's retired at this point. He says he still thinks that Lysell has a ways to go still. And, you know, that is very worrisome given the fact that he is, what, 3-4 years removed from being drafted at this point, and he was supposed to be a top stud at this point on our team.
So yeah. So would you maybe include him in a deal?
At this point, 100%. I'm including Lysell in a deal.
To lower the draft pick capital.
At this point, he needs a change of scenery. At this point, he's not going to do anything for the Bruins. We all thought he was going to come up this year. He has yet to see it. He has yet to really produce anything down in Providence, from what I know. You barely heard his name. And he apparently had rumblings with the head coach down there. Get him a new change of pace scenery. I think it's needed. And what a better place to go than fucking Buffalo, am I right?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, too, they've called up like five guys. They've called up a handful.
They called up Mark McLaughlin before they called up Lysell.
Yeah. That's very worrisome for his development when it's like the fourth year and there's six guys being called before. And it's not even like it was rumblings of, oh, we're going to call up Lysell or, you know, McLaughlin. There was even no hint of like that there was a decision between those two.
Yeah, no, it's I would 100% if it saved us a draft pick, which I don't think it's been like 10, feels like 10 years since we've had an actual like first round draft pick. We're not gonna have one. I don't think we have one in the first three rounds this year, or something like that. If it would save us from having to move a draft pick, then I would 100%. That was the other name in that Hanifin trade was actually Lysell. Lysell was the third person in that trade.
I mean, I would. I'm not comfortable with the draft pick. And then if you're going to ship out DeBrusk for Hanifin, what are you bringing in to replace DeBrusk? It feels like there's another skate would have to drop there. And who is that? Or do you feel confident enough that you're going to get offense from one of the young guys you just called up? I don't. There's not a track record for that for a team who's going to end up needing they're going to end up needing offense.
I will say I am all in on Alex Tuch. Ever since I saw the message this morning about it, I'm all in on Alex Tuch. Now you have to beat out the Rangers for him, obviously. And I mean, look, that's totally possible, but I mean, you have him under contract. You'd have him under contract. It just feels like the perfect scenario for the Bruins. Something that Don Sweeney would love himself, because he's also looking ahead to the future, because obviously cap space isn't, you know, the best for that team right now. And you could maybe even dump maybe a Derek Forbort salary in there too to match some contracts. I don't know how much DeBrusk is making, so it might match what Tuch is making, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But all scenarios that to look forward to. One thing that we do know is it does not appear Ullmark is going to be traded before the deadline, which is totally fine. We expected that him not to be traded before the deadline. We expected that to come in the summer. Why do we expect that to come in the summer? Because also in Elliot Freeman's 32-point podcast that was released on the day of this recording on Monday, he announced that the Bruins have began extension talks with Jeremy Swayman. Now, there's also rumors out there that it's going to be an 8-year, $7 million AAV deal. So obviously, if it's a $7 million a year, you're going to move Ullmark in the offseason. You're not going to have a goalie that makes $7 million, a goalie that makes $5 million, because that's just absolutely asinine. So I expect the deal possibly to get done before the trade deadline. Chris is like really close up to the camera right now, looking up his nose, and you know, the nostrils are something I really, really appreciate to see right now.
I'm trying to test your focus.
It worked out pretty well, actually. It was actually better than I thought it was going to be. But no, with Swayman being apparently the lead guy, Allmark's going to be moved. I expect the deal to be done before the deadline, kind of like what happened with Pasternak. Chris, what is your take? Do you think 8 years, $7 million per year is the right move for Swayman?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much like you're going rate, right? To get a, you know, it's an in-house guy. It's someone that you've had throughout your system, everything else. I it's just a going rate. And I think 8 years is a good term. You know, what's that, 56 mil. So yeah, I think that's fair. I think he's played to the level of being a number one in the league. I think he's played to the level where he's, you know, he's a conversation of a top 10 goalie. You know, it is unfortunately, you know, the hugs would go away, but that doesn't mean that Bussy or a veteran or whatever it is they can bring in, they won't go in, you know, do fucking goalie hugs.
We all know you're happy that the goalie hug would go away after the season, Chris. Let's be honest here.
I mean, I don't know. You just win something. You know what I mean? Like, win something, and then I'll entertain your hugs. But I don't know. I'm out on the grab ass right now. So, and I pretty much said that on social. But yeah, I would like it. I think it would be a good move for the Bruins. It's he's a building block for what you're trying to accomplish, and at the very least, if you were to trade Ullmark, maybe you get some draft capital back and you start to replenish those cupboards, you know, and send him to a team that would give him a chance to win as well. I don't see why he wouldn't be, you know, open to that.
I know a couple teams that could probably use him, aka the Edmonton Oilers. Maybe he wouldn't be traded to the Toronto Maple Leafs, but the New Jersey Devils, who just fired their head coach. There's a couple of other teams probably out there that could use him. If I could just think of them off the top of my head, Tampa Bay Lightning, maybe. I mean, Vasilevskiy ain't what he used to be. That's for goddamn sure.
I do remember a time that the Bruins and the Maple Leafs made a trade for some goaltending.
Oh, yeah. What was his name again?
There was Rask. Tuukka. Right?
Yeah, Tuukka Rask.
Tuukka Rask. And Andrew Raycroft, maybe, was thrown in there.
Yep. That was the deal.
It's a good deal.
Who knows? Maybe the Bruins send a Ullmark up that way.
And you get... For Bertuzzi?
No, I would just
sign him. One for one.
One for one.
I would just sign him. You're going to be able to, you know what I mean? Like, he'll be available. So
yeah, they'll have plenty of money in the offseason anyway to replenish the team.
That's going to be, though, exciting, because at least, seeing what they do with this deadline, plus you're going to go into the offseason with a good amount of cap space for this team. Considering some of the turnover in the last 2 years of, you know, face the franchise, Bergeron retiring, David Krejci going overseas, coming back, he's retired now. Marchand's kind of at, you know, he's on the back nine, ultimately. The Bruins can go ahead and make a smart move and get a guy like Swayman, boom, in place, 8 years, part of that next wave with the Pasternaks of the world, with Lowry,
McAvoy's,
stuff like that. Then you can use some of that money and get a veteran or two to build on. And maybe you find a younger guy. Maybe you find a Geeky, right? But the next level up of a Morgan Geeky in free agency, and spend a little bit on that person. And now, like, all right, now you're cooking with some stuff. So I think the Bruins got lucky in the last 2 years, because a lot of things fell their way. They could have went completely in the toilet this year after losing some of those players. So
we all thought they would,
you know, that's why I say, like, you got to let the players kind of do their thing. This is as much on the players as it is on the coaching staff and ownership if something doesn't work out.
Jamie, say you.
I like the deal a lot. I mean, it's good to see them commit goalie-wise to one guy. I feel like it definitely, like we said, opens up a trade and you can get some of that draft capital back. I think if you want for the going rate for the goalie, it's a good contract. I think Swayman's proven it. And I'm excited to see how they use that extra cap to add to this team. So I think they had like 20 million or something like
that. Yeah, something like that. Year.
And then you take off another 4 or 5. So you're at like 25. You know, it's a good amount of money to add to this team.
I don't think Sweeney has a choice right now. I think he wants to bring him back, but I don't think he really have a choice right now. After how arbitration went, you got, you know, Ullmark, who is aging, obviously. You don't want, you know, an aging Ullmark. Why not? You want the fan favorite, which is obviously Swayman. I don't think he really has a choice. I think he has to do this. And you have to do it before he hits free agency, which is why I think it gets done this week. This is the same week that they got Pastas done last year, his 8-year deal. So I think at the end of the day, if they don't do this, good God, there will be a fucking riot. There will be bloodshed or blue and gold shed. I don't fucking know. Whatever shed you want to, blood you want to shed. I don't care. Either way.
What happens if he throws a curveball and he trades him?
Ooh.
Everyone's Twitter will burn.
Oh. You know how I got to make the baseball reference here. You know how Red Sox Twitter is right now with Jordan Montgomery?
Oh, fuck that guy.
That's pretty much what Bruins Twitter would be like if you traded Jeremy Swayman. Maybe worse. Probably worse.
It would probably be worse.
It'd be close, but I think that would be worse. Yes. At the end of the day.
I shudder when I hear the name Jordan Montgomery. Like, I don't care if he signs here, where he signs. I don't even care. He could be working the baseball section at Dick's Sporting Goods until the All-Star break. I don't care about him anymore.
I shudder every time I hear Scott Boras.
Oh, he takes a dump. Bob Nightingale writes about it. And then the top accounts on social media aggregate it. Like, it's no, start putting out. Put out stuff that's relevant. Jordan Montgomery woke up at 3 a.m, took a piss, and Tyler Milliken's tweeting it. Like, I've had it. I don't care anymore.
So you mean the four teams that are interested in him probably aren't actually interested in him? It was just a fabricated tweet.
I texted that in one of our chats today that got Chris
Bob Nightingale getting fabricated tweets from good old Scotty Boras to get.
They just keep repeating themselves. They're like
fucking hilarious at this point.
Like, put like 3-4 hamsters on a wheel and then superimpose all of these national guys' heads on them, and they're running in the thing, and they're just running to regurgitate the same shit. Oh, well, he zoomed with the Red Sox recently. No, he zoomed 3 weeks ago, and he zoomed. It was a favor to Scott Boras. The Red Sox did Boras a favor. When that comes out, whoever's listening to this Bruins podcast, when that comes out in a couple of weeks, you fucking heard it out of my mouth first. The Red Sox did them a favor.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's in Passan we trust. This is why we like Jeff Passan and Jeff Passan only.
This is true.
This is why Jeff. Anyway, let's move on now before Chris pops a vein in his forehead. There are some other moves to be made around the league. Obviously the Pittsburgh Penguins, who just got absolutely annihilated yesterday by the Edmonton Oilers. They are getting prepared probably to sell off. At least Guentzel is going to be moved. Sidney Crosby won't. If Crosby is moved, he'd be moved in the offseason. He's not going to be moved right now. But you will see a lot of movement out of the Pittsburgh Penguins, whether or not Guentzel is a rental piece. So, you know, you're not going to give up a lot. And they have also stated that they want, they don't want draft picks for Guentzel. They want prospects. So if you're going to get Guentzel, they want prospects. So
Don Henry is in charge of that hockey club.
Damn right, baby. We want them prospects.
Now, John does know that he has to spend at a certain to a certain level in the National Hockey League, right? It's not like in baseball. Like there is a at least a level you got to spend up until, right? I'm sorry, Penguins fans. This is the pain that you're going to start to experience.
Yeah, no, Penguins fans, this is just the beginning. It's not going to get any easier for you guys. I'm sorry. And it's going to be even worse when you trade your, you know, best player, Sidney Crosby, away. Like, we traded our Bruins. Best player.
Do him a favor. Trade him to the Bruins.
Now, nope. I was just about to say, don't get me wrong. If Sidney Crosby was to become available,
centering Marchand and whoever's on that,
I don't care how old he is. you make that move.
Oh, 100%.
You give up whatever you need to give up. You bring in, you make that move.
Yeah. I agree with that. 100%.
Take it from the black and yellow and you put him in the black and gold.
Just reverse colors. That's all you got
to
do.
And yeah, I know he's won there, but you come to Boston. I almost slipped and said hockey matters here. It matters in Pittsburgh, and I wouldn't want to insult their fan base because that's not true. But hockey doesn't matter to that ownership group.
I don't think any sport matters to that ownership group.
Yeah, so I think that's how I want to say it. I don't want to insult the fan base because that would be very disingenuous because we're in the same boat. Hockey doesn't matter to the owner. So at least here, Jeremy Jacobs gives the impression because he has people that are making the right moves. You know what I mean? Again, you have to spend to a certain level. He could have said, get rid of Pasta. I don't want it. You know what I mean? He could have said a lot of different things. So, yeah, I think if you have a chance at any point ever to go against Sidney Crosby, I think you do that.
Today is also the anniversary of Mark Recchi being traded to the Bruins. So just putting that out there. We all know.
That's a perfect move. That's what I'm talking about for defense. That's a perfect, gritty guy who's been there. Fucking gamer. That's what I want the Bruins to get. Because that's what they did during the cup run in 2011. They went out, they Gregory Campbell, get that kind of guy. Bring that badass onto, that's what this team needs. That's what this team needs. Noah Hanifin is a luxury, but go get the gritty guy who's going to, go get that guy. I don't know who that guy is, but go get two of them.
I mean, does anyone know what Alex Wenberg's contract looks like? Is he up at the end of the year? Do we know?
I can tell you in 5 seconds.
Well, yeah. So that like I said earlier, that's another name that was out there from the Seattle Kraken. But he might be a free agent after the season, so that might be another one of those names. But I don't think you'd have to give up a lot for him because the Seattle Kraken want to re-sign other guys, and I don't think Wenberg's one of them, so they want to try to get something out of him in the first place. So
he is a free agent.
He also has a 10 team no trade list, but it does not tell you who those teams are.
I hate those kind of lists. Just tell us what fucking teams you don't want to go to, man.
Yeah, but you know what though? If you present it to the player and be like, hey, look, I know Boston, let's say Boston's not on your top 10, but they are one of the top teams in the conference. Do you want to try to go win a Stanley Cup or do you want to be Eduardo Rodriguez and be like, no, I don't want to go play for the Dodgers and then go and sign on the West Coast and play for the Diamondbacks this year? I don't want to go into the spotlight and try to win a World Series. No, I'll go to the desert and hope the team does it again. Fuck him.
I think I also, I also think Allmark has a 16 team no trade clause, if I remember. Yeah. Pretty hefty. Yeah. It's a pretty hefty number. It's like half the league. Maybe the whole fucking East for all I fucking know. I don't fucking know.
He'll only go to a team that allows hugs. First off, that's the first question.
The Arizona Coyotes will allow a hug because that's what they need. They need a hug
one of the students in the student section.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. But it appears if we had to rank what the Bruins are going after, what their number one target is, it appears their number one target is Alex Tuch. So it's something to keep an eye on. They do have somebody at if it's either not tonight, it's tomorrow, the Sabres game. They do have somebody at that game. So it'd be interesting to see what formulates on that end of things. But Friday is the deadline. So we will know sooner rather than later what is next to come for this team. It may really makes you wonder. I mean, yeah, either way, you're going to be in the playoff. So, I mean, but what you do on Friday is what's going to tell you if this team can make it anywhere at all past the first round. If they don't make a move, they're not getting out of the first round. I mean, even then, I don't know if they're going to get out of the first round either way. But I'm just stating, if they don't make a move to bolster this roster, they're fucked in every single way possible. We saw it against the Islanders on Friday. On Saturday, I mean, they looked absolutely horrendous defensively. And they need another scorer. And let me tell you what, Jake DeBrusque is not that scorer. I'm sorry. I've defended him for as long as I could. But Don Sweeney has gone 0-for-3 in that 2015 draft now.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see what they do because we talked about it earlier. They don't have that much cap space. So Don's going to have to get a little creative with how he improves this team.
Which is why I think the Tuck move is probably your best because a lot of that money is going to be pushed to next year anyway since you already have him under a contract extension. And I think it's like a $4 million cap hit so you can move like a couple pieces with them.
Yeah, because I mean, right now, according to Cap Friendly, they are $61,000.
Fuck yeah.
Under the cap.
I'll take that.
You know what's bad? I don't think we talked about this last week. It might have been in between. But you know what's bad? When they were on their Western Canada trip and they had to send down Brazo when they were in, I think it was when they're in Edmonton or something because of financial constraints. You know it's bad when you know you're broke when you're moving people down because of financial restraints and you can't keep someone up because of that. So you're over here starting fucking Derek fucking Forbert because you can't keep Brazo up for a fucking day. By the way, Derek Forbert's birthday is today and he is not playing. So
Smokeover's like, happy birthday, buddy. You can watch from the sixth floor.
Ninth floor. You can watch from the ninth floor. Sixth floor, you don't deserve the sixth floor right now. You got to earn that sixth floor. You miss
team breakfast. You don't get the sixth floor.
Yeah, that's another thing. Derek Forbert misses team breakfast. Really pulls a Tyler Seguin and Jake DeBrusk up in here. Minus fucking the teammate's wife. But that's, you know, besides
what point. What depends on the breakfast, right? You know what I mean? Like,
depends on the breakfast. Breakfast if you fuck the teammate's wife?
I'm skipping breakfast if pancakes and French toast and that shit. I'm not going. You know what I mean?
You're not going to a pancake breakfast?
Yeah, would you have a pancake breakfast?
I don't like pancakes. I don't like waffles. I don't like eggs.
What if there's like chocolate chips or something like that involved? Some like whipped cream or.
You can fill it with fucking gold and I'm not going to eat it.
What the fuck did I just hear?
Yeah, I don't like it. Never did.
What's the reasoning off topic? But what's the reasoning?
We're already in on this. We're going to do this. Yeah, we're going to talk about this shit.
I look at like, so I don't like sweets, right? I don't do like cakes and all that stuff. I don't do ice cream. Like, I don't do any of that stuff. So to me, like, that's all under like that umbrella. Like, if I'm going to go and cheat and have like, to me, something that's loaded with carbs, like a pancake, I'd rather just go and overindulge and just have more sausage and bacon and stuff that's just better to eat. I'm all set with pancakes.
What about French toast? Does French toast fall under that?
He said French toast. He said he wouldn't have French toast either.
There's a brunch place that's near me, and on their menu there's this French toast, and it's like a big like heaping portion of it, and I've seen people get.
I'm just gonna let the silence sit here for a second. I think it just deserves a.
No, I'll give me eggs and like a meat protein and some home fries, and let me eat like a man, and you the kids can have your pancakes.
How is eating pancakes make you not a man? Where did this conversation come from?
Has like levels to it.
No, pancakes are not. Flapjacks, whatever you want to call them. That's not it. That is not
so
it.
So my father eats pancakes. Does that mean he's not a man?
Well, he's a man by default only because he's a vegan now. Like,
he's not a man when it comes to breakfast, though. He's a kid when it comes to breakfast.
Oh, yeah. He's at the kids' table. Go to the kids' table and have your
you know what? Fuck that shit. I'll be at the kids' table my whole fucking life if I'm. Yeah, it requires me to eat fucking pancakes, waffles, and French toast.
I don't want your syrup.
Fucking lather that fucking butter. Mrs. Buttersworth on there. Yeah, dude. All fucking day.
Got canceled because you used Mrs. Butterworth reference.
I don't care, you know. That's what it'll always be. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Was it something Mills? Hattie Mills or something? I don't even know anymore. I don't even know.
I like just regular breakfast. I want to do
it is regular eggs. Breakfast.
No breakfast. Breakfast. No. That's kid shit. Give me like schlup some eggs on there. You know what I mean? Like, give me some bacon. Get some home fries.
How are you having the eggs? Are you doing the egg scrambled? How are we doing this?
Yeah, if you do the egg scramble, you're a child.
Well, eggs should only be scrambled if it's in a buffet setting or if you're sick. Like, you know, if you're in the hospital and they're going to give you breakfast, like they should be scrambled at that point. But if you're out, it needs to be sunny side up. You want to dip your bread in there, your toast. You want to get all that. You know what I mean? You want to get all that up. You know what I mean? Like, you want the yolk to run into the home fries. Like, you want that moment. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that's breakfast. Like, that's a fucking meal.
What's your take on breakfast sandwiches?
I love them.
So that's a manly thing then. Because I eat breakfast. I eat McMuffins from McDonald's all the time every morning.
Yeah, I haven't had a McMuffin in it'll be almost a year. But
McMuffins are the shit, man.
Yeah, no, breakfast sandwiches are the ideal during the week. If you have time to make a breakfast and during the week, then more power to you. Sit down breakfast is more for Saturday. Brunch is for Sunday. During the week, it's breakfast sandwiches, breakfast wraps, whatever you want to do. Here's another hot take and we can move on. I think Chipotle should start serving a breakfast program. They got the burritos. They got all the stuff for it. Now start adding some eggs. Do a little, breakfast, you know, program at your restaurants. Give me that.
Hey, Jake DeBrusk just scored.
Hey, it's 3-0 too.
We have a Jake DeBrusk goal.
Right,
live on the podcast. We have a Jake DeBrusk goal. I repeat, this is not a drill. This is not a drill.
We got their second assist of the night on that goal.
What would that be?
Mason.
Lowrider.
Lowrider.
You knew this was going to happen. They play like shit against the Islanders and then they go to fucking Toronto and they start kicking ass. This team is so fucking bipolar. It's not even fucking funny, man. It's fucking wild.
They're like, right now they're like, oh, Don might break us up. So let's play well.
Well, it's okay, DeBrus. You're just upping your trade value at this point there, bud. Am I wrong here?
No, you're right.
Or he'll sign an extension. That'll send people in a tizzy. that'll. Are you kidding me? That'll burn the inside of Michael Felger's ass. Friday.
Doesn't burn the inside of Michael Felger's ass at this point?
That's what I want. I'm looking forward to like 3 o'clock, and Murray's like, ooh, and he goes and mentions that DeBrus gets the extension. That is going to fire him up.
This is the same show that doesn't even talk about the Bruins, doesn't even talk about the Celtics when they're winning 11 straight games. They only talk about that when they suck ass.
Well, you got to create the narrative. That's how you
become. Of course.
Look, I got to tell you what, I give them credit because here's the thing, right? You're not going to be the number one show in America in sports radio unless like they control the narrative. They control what things are talking. I get, look, they've done it for so many years. I know there's people don't want to hear it, but people talk about it. You know, I don't watch it as much as of late, but
they've been doing it for a while too.
Yeah. And plus Felker's a Milwaukee Bucks fan anyway. So, I mean, he's from Milwaukee. From Milwaukee. Yeah. He was in Milwaukee before he came to Boston.
Because he went to school here and then he basically kind of just stayed.
Yeah.
Yep. Covered the.
That's why you hear him talk about the Milwaukee Bucks a lot, is because he's a Milwaukee Bucks fan. That's the reason why. So, fun fact of the day for you. So let's wrap this up for tonight. We got a couple of games coming up here between now and Monday. Again, we have the Oilers. They have a 4-game homestand coming up. They play the Oilers tomorrow. So Tuesday when this releases. So back to back here. They then play the Maple Leafs again on Thursday at home. They then host the Penguins, John Henry's team coming to town. And then they host the Blues, Jordan Shittington coming to town. And I will be calling him that all fucking weekend. You can put your name on that. because that is the way I ride on that shit. So let's see here. Jamie, what's your record here for the next four?
I'm feeling 3-1. I'm feeling bold. I'll go 3-1.
3-1. Okay, interesting. Chris?
2-2. Only because I want to see what happens after the trade deadline. I'm going with under the thought process of that they're gonna make some minor moves, but I'm gonna go 2-2, and then we start fresh Monday with what this team's gonna look like roster wise. We'll know if Swayman's locked in for 8 years. We'll have so many answers to so many questions, and I think it's gonna allow us to be able to make better picks. I think just this to close out this week, it's gonna be, you know, there's so many things that can kind of slide back and forth, if that makes sense. I'm gonna go 2-2 just based off of there could be some hearts broken in the locker room.
I'm gonna go 1-1-2.
Ooh, you like your ties.
So we got like records.
Well, yes, because who the fuck? I mean, look, they just got done going to six straight fucking overtimes. What makes you think they ain't gonna do that shit again? Christ, I wouldn't be shocked if they went 0-0-4. I don't know what this team, man. I need this team to have a 20-goal lead to even feel comfortable with what's going on, honestly. So, I mean, at the end of the day, we'll see. But, yeah. So, no, great podcast. Great episode here. Thought we got talked a lot about some good trade pieces, and we'll see if any of those trade pieces come true. See if the pipe dream that is Alex Tuch will be in a black and gold uniform in the spoke to be come Monday when we're here. But yeah, with that being said, I'm Jeff Hoke. That's Jamie Gatlin. And of course, that is Chris Henrique. And we'll be back next week for yet another episode of Short Intakes, a Boston Bruins podcast.